You ain't heard nothing till you've heard the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that knows all podcast lives matter. And now he might have joined Toastmasters if he weren't so bashful, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I am, as Drew McMillan just told you, Doug Jones, your Medicare expert for today and possibly for tomorrow. And I have some pretty exciting news. Randy and I have been working like dogs. We've been beating each other like dime store ponies trying to get our latest project done. And finally, last night, we uploaded it to Amazon. That is our 2021 book. So Medicare for the Lazy Man 2021 will be for sale at some point real soon. And my only concern is I've got to get book number one off of the assembly line so that I can get it to Dominic Regina. And he can then brag to all of his friends that he was the first one to be able to actually hold the 2021 edition of Medicare for the Lazy Man in his little hands. I don't know if they're really little, but it just seemed to go with the rest of the description. So what are we doing here? We're helping people who are facing Medicare turmoil to feel better about Medicare and to have more confidence that when they cross over that line from normal life into the Medicare life, that it will be an easy transition and that they'll be actually possibly in better shape than they have been under the typical health insurance scheme that they've been living under. Medicare is fairly inexpensive, fairly comprehensive, and gives you a degree of freedom if you do the right things like we suggest to do. It gives you a degree of freedom that you might not have experienced in years and years. So when I say we, the things that we suggest, I always include my friend Randy Carson, who is sitting on the other side of the computer screen twiddling the controls. Hello, Randy.
Good morning. This is a bright and sunny day and a very notable one.
Well, speak for yourself. It's Illinois is not as bright and sunny.
Oh, as I forgot. Doug got it. I always forget.
Well, soon, I'm hoping. A couple of weeks and we'll pile in the car and be headed south and headed west. But in the meantime, it is a red letter day for us. It's what we worked towards.
Yeah. I just wanted to point out before we, tell them all the great news and all the details about it, that it was 48 degrees last night, so I really had to put on my muckluck.
Well, it was 27 when I got up and headed off to the dentist's office this morning, so frankly, 48 degrees sounds pretty tropical and comfortable, but I know that once you're there, once you get acclimated to 80-degree days, 48 degrees is kind of nightmarish.
Yes, and I just thought it would be some of the folks on the podcast might be interested to know all the hoops that you jumped through to get a book out for publication.
I guess if it were easy, everybody would do it. I mean, how many people have random thoughts that they would like to publish for other people to read? Probably everybody, right?
I think so. I mean, everybody thinks they've got one good novel in them, right?
Yeah, that's what they say. And boy, I'll tell you, I don't, but but maybe others do. So they don't make it easy. And I think that that's like thinning the herd or separating the wheat from the chaff. It is such a complicated process. Obviously, Randy and I think it's a two-man job. And so that's the way we operate. And I think that probably stops a lot of really marginal books from being put on sale.
Yeah, and even so, we've done it together, what, since 2018, right?
We had a short run in 2018, and then we put out a 2019, a 2020, and this will be the fourth of our books.
And even though I do it, we do it together year after year after year, I get in there and there's some little hoo-ha that I forgot.
I bumped into that this morning. I thought I'd check out where we were. And so I went to the ebook section, because the paper book section, we can't change now. It's under review. The ebook section, I thought, well, you know, I did a few little things like somebody put in my name without the middle initial, and I put that in. And then I put my two designations that I have on the cover of the book, so that anybody that knows insurance designations will understand that I'm not just doing this for funsies, but I actually have spent a lot of time in the insurance industry. Not saying that I know more or am smarter than anybody else, but some people think those designations separate a professional from, you know, a sort of an amateur. And it didn't like my designation, so I had to take them out. So instead of me having Douglas B. Jones, comma, CLU, comma, RHU, it would not take anything other than my name. So, you know, we'll see how it comes out. But the ebooks don't really have a cover. The paperback book took all of that for the covers. So I think we're good.
Yeah. Yeah, I do remember running into that last year, or maybe the year before that. I was trying to put in your designations, and it just wouldn't freaking take them. And I never did quite figure out why.
Well, as long as they show up on the book cover, which appears, you know, we have to change the shape of the book cover. You did a nice job of that in 2020 to make it square for the ebook, or is that the audio book? One of them.
I don't know which.
might be the audiobook.
What day is this, Doug? I forget.
No, it's interesting that we can't just remember it from one year to the next. But Randy reminded me that we last year put the audiobook up on Amazon for them to approve. And then that was on January 27th of 2020. And that book did not get approved until 3 months later. It was February, March, April 22nd is when the audio book went on sale last year. So I promised Randy that I'm going to get down to working on that thing real soon, so that we can start that 3 month process earlier than we did last year, and hopefully have the book out there sooner and better quality too.
Is this year going to start out like past years?
Oh, no. Past year started out normally and got crappy. This year is going to start out crappy. And
I was thinking about in a galaxy far, far away on the audio part.
Oh, well, I don't think that's what happened last time. I don't think we have that on the audio book.
No, that was, but we should,
that was
though.
Video. That was going to be our video. You weren't able to perfect it. Something went wrong. There were two different files and they didn't play together well.
No, they didn't. But I still think on the audiobook, you know, you could start out, you know, in a galaxy far, far away, you know, and you could read some sort of an introduction, and that would give people something to listen to while they were getting to the real meat.
Well, let me give that a try, but if it doesn't work out well, I'm going to abandon that quickly. Anyway, in addition to that exciting news about the 2021 Medicare for the Lazy Man, the paperback, the ebook, and the Audible book, in addition to that, we have two messages from Steve to deal with. Steve is one of our favorite correspondents, and he is just Mr. Curious. I have speculated in the past what makes this guy so curious, and frankly, I don't have a good answer. I thought perhaps he was sincerely curious about all the little nuances of Medicare, and I was going to chastise him for spending all of his time and energy trying to learn all of this minutia that nobody really has to know about Medicare. Remember what I say in the book, there is no way that you can improve Medicare and make it more valuable, make it more, make the level of protection higher by memorizing all the garbage that is involved with Medicare. So I was going to chastise Steve about that. He was, you know, too much minutia. And then I had another thought. I thought maybe he is a graduate student somewhere, and he's using me as resource material for his thesis. And that's one possibility. And it might be that he is just a guy who likes to ask questions to keep us jumping. So he has been asking questions for probably 6 months. And every time he asks one, I love to go and do the research in order to answer the question. And so we had two messages from Steve, and one message, he gave me a URL for a Medicare page that he thought I might enjoy. And it is https://q1medicare.com/. Okay, so I probably threw in too many details there, but it's basically Q1. That's the number one. Q1medicare.com. I don't know who does this thing. I haven't really had a chance to delve into it deeply, but it looks like it is, well, I said to Steve, this is like the War and Peace of Medicare information websites. It's got a lot of stuff there. It's very, very busy. But it might be fun for you people that are detail-oriented. And so you can go to Q1medicare.com at Steve's suggestion and see what that's all about. And then the other notation from Steve is, I should have numbered the paragraph so I knew where to start reading. So Steve says, he sent me a URL, a link to a YouTube video. And on the YouTube video is a guy, and here's what Steve says. He says, check this out. He told me that I should check this out. This guy should sponsor my book because it's a YouTube video from a Medicare insurance salesperson who is talking about high deductible plans, or as Randy has dubbed them, high value plans. That's a much better name for them. And I can't see where Steve originally sent them the first message, but he said, check this out. This guy should sponsor your book, or should link to your book. And so I watched the video. It was about 8 minutes long. And the guy presented a pretty cogent case for high deductible plans. Now, I think high deductible plans are fantastic. In the book, both the 2020 and the new 2021 book, I say that most agents will not discuss high deductible or high value Medicare supplement plans unless you force him to have that conversation. The reason for that is that the premiums are so low for these wonderful plans. They're such powerful protection at such a reasonable cost that their percentage, which is their commission, is too small to make it worth their while. So many agents would hope that you're going to buy a more expensive product because their compensation is higher when they sell you an expensive product. And so anyway, I don't think, I think this guy is talking about the same thing I am, except that there were two things that I pointed out to Steve that bothered me a little bit about his presentation. I don't think he explained the math very clearly. He did not explain how your actual amount at risk, your potential out-of-pocket costs with a high deductible Medicare supplement plan are limited because you've been socking away savings of over $100 a month from what you would have been paying with a regular plan. In other words, you buy a regular Plan G, it might cost you $150 a month. If you buy a high deductible or high value Plan G, it might cost you $40 a month. That would leave $110 that you can sock away every month. And if you do get sick, then Medicare is going to pay 80% of your bill. So your 20% that you pay out of your pocket, you've got a pile of cash stashed away just waiting for the day when you actually have some medical expenses that Medicare doesn't pay 100% of. So this guy on the video did not explain it as well as I thought he might have. The other thing that bothered me about the video is it looked like this guy had a man bun hiding behind his head, and I was a little concerned with his hairdo. But Randy's saying no. Randy says no. Nope.
No, if he's got a man bun, run the other way.
Yeah, that's right. But assuming he doesn't, then his hair is just painted on his head. Maybe he's one of these guys that shaved his head and then decided to go back to.
If there's anything in the world that a guy should not get anywhere close to, is a man bun.
Oh,
because
I'm with
if
you.
If they do, in my book, they should turn in their man card.
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. And frankly, it's getting to be a little too pervasive. The only thing that gives me pause, that makes me say, Doug, keep your mouth shut, is remembering what it was like when I was young, when the British invasion happened and girls went after guys with long hair. And I decided I was going to have some long hair. And I remember adults of that time in the 1960s were horrified, kind of like we're horrified by man buns.
So, well, I think, at one point in my life, I actually did had an I did have an afro.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, all right. Maybe I need to back off on the man bun a little bit, but not a whole lot. Okay.
No, because there is no place in the world for man buns. There's barely a place in the world for lady buns. I'm not really sure I like them on girls either. So
depends
anyway,
on what bun you're talking about.
Yeah, the ones on the head. So Steve did an excellent job of pointing out two places where you can get additional information. One being the website that's entitled Q1Medicare.com, and the other being this talking head that would like to sell you a high deductible Medicare supplement plan. Both of those excellent. Thank you, Steve, once again. Every time he gives us something to sink our teeth into, it's always worthwhile. I didn't give you the URL because of the talking head selling Medicare Advantage plans, because frankly, it's really long and confusing and has a lot of lowercase and uppercase letters. But he is one of several people on YouTube who discuss high deductible plan G and high deductible plan F. But he is one of the very few that unequivocally says this could be the best plan for you. For many, many people, it is the best plan. Lowest cost, most bang for your bucks. So that's what sets him apart from a lot of these other talking heads and experts that inhabit the cyberspace, I guess. How are we doing time-wise, Randy?
We're down to 2 minutes and 52 seconds.
Oh boy! Well, I'll tell you what. I was gonna read a funny little column. I took notes during a podcast. I love podcasts. Your dog is tell him to light a cigarette. Apparently, he misses smoking. You told me one time he used to smoke.
He used to smoke straight Camels.
It
really got to him. So now he's paying the price later on in age.
Oh boy! Well, I was gonna read you a nice little compilation of hints in the MCMG. A lot of agents know what that means, the Medicare Marketing Guideline. I don't know where the C comes from. But anyway, it is basically a list of rules that you are not allowed to violate if you're going to sell Medicare Advantage plans and Medicare PDP or prescription drug plans. The U.S. government is trying to control your every nuance of your presentations and so forth. I don't think I can get that done in 2 minutes. And frankly, I don't think the audience is really hoping for a 40-minute show today. So I think maybe I'll save that for another time. And let's see.
I think that'd be a good idea, you know, because we certainly want them to, you know, concentrate on your next part. So
absolutely. Well, okay. Here's a little short thing I got. I could do that.
Yeah, absolutely. We have 1 minute and 19 seconds.
Okay. This is a list of things that you should never say to your client. I love all these advice to salesmen because they figure salesmen are probably a little on the slow side and they need some help. So here are some things to never say to your client. And one of them, the first one is never say to your client, call me anytime if you don't intend to take their calls, because, you know, you might be lying to them and they'll figure it out pretty quickly. And that's not going to make them happy. Don't ever tell your client, that's why you pay me the big bucks. If you're selling stuff to a client, they don't want to think that they're paying you big bucks. They want to think they're getting value for their money, not enriching you. Don't ever say, I promise, when you can't really deliver the goods. If they mention a competing firm, don't say, Oh, are they still in business? And then let's see. Oh, yes, if you're talking to your client, don't ever say to your client, excuse me, I've got an important call I have to take. Because your client should think he's the most important person you're talking to. But if you say, I have an actually important call I got to take, then that's going to send the wrong message. Let's see. The market took us all by surprise. Well, that's kind of, goes without saying. Doesn't it always take us by surprise? I don't have time for you right now. This is advice to insurance agents. Don't say to your client, I don't have time for you right now. And then don't give them the name of like your assistant, let's say Genevieve. And don't say Genevieve will be your new contact going forward, because then they think, oh, this guy is abandoning me now. I decide to buy his product, and pretty soon I'm not good enough for him to deal with. Or let's say Genevieve leaves the company. Don't say Genevieve quit. I'm your new advisor now. For some reason, they say that's something clients aren't going to like. Don't promise to call them back unless you're going to do it. Don't tell a client they're really too small for you to be concerned with. And if you really get angry with a client, don't say you're fired, because that's one thing that's going to be, it's going to create a problem that you'll never be able to resolve.
That will be a problem. Yeah, it's really not a good idea to say, you're just not big enough for our company. You're just a tiny little speck in the ocean.
Yeah, yep. So, and I remember hearing that in the past, and I knew instinctively it was a bad idea for anybody to say that. So anyway, I think I've blown my wad for today.
You know what we need to do?
What's that?
We need to tell the folks again that the 2021 version of the book is on the horizon.
Yeah.
But don't stop buying the 2020 book until it gets there.
Right. Because we don't know how long it's going to take Amazon. The track record is not good. It's not stellar for them acting quickly. So the 2020 book is still there for you. The major elements of Medicare are the same. It's just that the 2021 book has more. The stuff you liked in 2020, it's got even more of that stuff. The stuff you didn't like in 2020, it has none of that stuff. So we are hopeful that the 2020 book will be equally useful, but when 2021 hits the stands in the Amazon store, it's got a few tweaks that we decided to throw in to even make it better.
Now, help me understand. Last year, you had a struggle trying to get your reader reviews to tag along with the new book. Are we going to have that same issue this year?
That is an excellent question. This is why I pay you the big bucks, Randy. You remember that was number three on the list.
That was number three. Yeah, that's why, Doug, that's the reason I pay you the big bucks. Oh, no, I make the big bucks. Yeah, there we go.
Well, anyway, that's an excellent answer. Last year, I whined and complained all during the early part of the year because Amazon took away the 55 five-star reviews. Actually, it was probably 60 reviews and 55 of them were five-star. And then my competing authors all put in one-star reviews. So there were about three or four of those. But what happened was, because the year changed from 2019 to 2020, Amazon said, well, that's a new book. You can't keep your old reviews. You got to have brand new reviews that you earn on the new book. So during the course of this year, they also instituted some kind of review thing where you can just click on a star and you don't have to write anything. So it turns out there are a lot of lazy reviewers out there. And this year, we're up to 213 as of this morning, 213 reviews on Amazon. Not all of them have any text. A lot of them are just somebody clicking on a star, but it's a very positive response by the reading public to the book. So what's going to happen is, because the new book would have had a new year, they're going to take away all those reviews. But I'm not whining and complaining, because it's the last time it's going to happen. We changed the title of the book to Medicare for the Lazy Man, and we didn't include the year. So starting with the first review on the new book, it's going to have those reviews forever and ever and ever, because a year from now, will be introducing the new version, but it's going to have the same title. It's only going to have a number on the cover that changes. So that's why I'm not worried about the reviews anymore. We had almost 60 reviews last year. We have 200 and something reviews this year, very positive reviews. And we're going to start from scratch again, but it'll be the last time we have to start from scratch.
Sweet.
Yep.
Well, that's all good news. Well, we need to thank the folks for coming to listen to us. Also, I would ask them to go to Amazon. If you need to buy a book, let's get her bought. Let's get her done.
I'll be working on the Audible book while you are goofing around this afternoon.
Yeah, yeah. And then ultimately come back and join us again next time, because we thoroughly enjoy visiting with you. Yes. But in the meantime, you have spent about 32 and a half minutes listening to Doug Jones, the brand spanking new author of Medicare for the Lazy Man 2021, headed to the shelves very soon, and sole proprietor of what?
Medicare for the Lazy Man. .com
and the kid from Oklahoma.
Oh, there you go. I forgot where I was from.
So thank you so much. Come back and join us again. We'll catch you on the flip flop, as they used to say in trucking. And see you next week, or tomorrow, or the day after.
Bye bye.